Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Coming at you live from the heart of Lincoln, America, this is Old School, sponsored by the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese, Nebraska Football Hall of Famer Jay Foreman and Austin Orman. Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Well, we're live again up here at Blur Tailgate at by the Hilton, Omaha. We're here almost to 6, the corner of 12th and Cass. I was a couple of streets off yesterday. 18 TVs, live baseball games, seating options. And as you see, the LSU fans and Arkansas fans have slowly but surely, is taking over this Blur tent. And we are brought to you by the Mercado, Certified Piedmontese Special Ingredients of Butcher Shop, 84th and Havelock, 30th and Yankee Hill, 85th and Old Cheney / Andre Mat, and 168th and Maple, right up here in the O. A lot of traffic, a lot of things going on. I got some young baseball players walking around with the ticket headbands and trying to represent to the fullest.
They could throw heat right past them.
Yeah, they could. They could definitely. They definitely could probably strike me out with wiffle ball and stuff like that. Big news in the day of sports. There's never a dull moment. You know, obviously we had the Florida Panthers winning the NHL Stanley Cup last night. You got the OKC Thunder on the cusp of winning their first NBA championship. Then you had Coastal Carolina, who's letting you know they're not just a feel-good story. And then now you have the LSU Tigers, the belle of the ball, going against, quite frankly, a little bit of a hometown feeling team in Arkansas, which LSU as well. It's their second home here in Omaha. The primetime game tonight. And then obviously you see what the energy has picked up, and this is coming off of just almost 24 hours ago of the exciting game that, you know, from an era in Louisville. And then we flip to the Lakers, get sold for $10 billion, in-house sale of $10 billion. And so there's a lot going on. And, you know, we're going to talk a little NFL news, Austin. And there's an interesting article, and this could go right into college as well, but the article that I sent you, that the 9 or 10 players – that it's either, you know, prove it or lose it. And yeah. and a lot of them are quarterbacks, right? You talk about Trevor Lawrence. You talk about Anthony Richardson. You talk about Bryce Young. You talk about Tyree Wilson. That was a defensive end, a kind of a out of the outer space pick by the Raiders at number 6 or something like that.
Really, the Raiders made a weird pick.
Right. And then, you know, look, Al Davis has passed away, but we're going to keep your legacy on of picking a guy that shouldn't be going to first round. Anything about Burks there? At the same time, they still had A.J. Brown with the Tennessee Titans that hasn't lived up to expectations. Has some good moments. Injuries have hurt. You talk about Travis Etienne, who has been on the trade block potentially. Taken off the trade block, according to their coach. We'll see after he gets through a couple games in preseason or there's an injury. The first and foremost guy, and I think there's two ways that you get onto this list, right? There are actually three. One, you're a guy like a height, weight. You have a good combine, but your underwear Olympic numbers don't match up to your play. But they say, oh, you know what? I always talk about the time when you do the scouting reports for the NBA draft next week. Well, he ain't shot well in college, but he got potential to. No, you ain't. You're not a good shooter. So that's the number one. Number two, you go number one in the draft, right? So two guys that I mentioned, Trevor Lawrence and Bryce Young. And you could throw Anthony Richardson up there because he had a meteoric rise going from, you know, showing a little flashes against Wisconsin at home to going obviously top 10, and he's a quarterback pick, right? And then kind of 2A and B, you're at a franchise that's had franchise quarterbacks in the past. That's where Anthony Richardson falls a little bit short. Yeah. That's where Pittsburgh Steelers quarterbacks have to deal with Terry Bradshaw and those guys. And then number three, your play is so poor and there's no viable excuse for it, right? That's where Evan Neal comes in, the big offensive tackle who won every award at Alabama, started out at a left tackle, went to right tackle. Now he is supposedly transitioning really, really good to left guard. Sometimes that does work out. You know, you think about Brandon Sheriff that was drafted out of Iowa, ended up playing 10-plus years, and ended up pretty dominant at guard position. Robert Gallery, you know, when he was picked for the Raiders, he ended up being really good as a guard. We talked about Tony Mandrich at times. Right. You know, I felt like he was a good player when he ended up with the Colts and really, you know, ended his career well at guard. It's an interesting list because you could go through college players, you know, as well because of the NIL factor, the star factor. But we'll stick with the pros. Of all the guys that we mentioned, who do you think has the best chance to play their way off of that list?
Well, I don't even know why Trevor Lawrence is on that list to begin with. I think Trevor's done enough.
Right.
From a statistical standpoint. There we go. I'm good. I've had one drink today. I'm fine. I promise. I think Trevor Lawrence is a legitimately good quarterback. Not quite top 10 good, but certainly, you know, top half the league. I think, you know, more than half the league would drop everything and trade for Trevor Lawrence if they had the opportunity. Now, yes, impact winning more.
Right.
Absolutely. But you play Jacksonville. You know, that's not a winning organization. They don't win down there in Jacksonville, right? Trevor needs to be better. He hasn't lived up to the number one hype in the same way that, say, Andrew Luck did before the retirement. But I have really very few issues or nits to pick with Trevor Lawrence. So to me, he's already off of that list. Bryce Young is just that. He's young and he's in Carolina, started to show flashes.
It's kind of like Jacksonville.
Absolutely.
You're right,
At least, you know, at least Carolina's made the Super Bowl a time or two. Yeah. You know, so they got that going for him. Anthony Richardson, I'm not going to waste words on that. There's a lot going on there. ETN, that's fine. But you also, you know, he's a first-round running back. You know, running backs got a little bit more valuable. He hasn't been as good as I thought he was going to be. But again, it's Jacksonville. Right. So I'd say ETN's probably the first guy that I really put in there. Treylon Burks, I was never as high on. I get what they were
going for Arkansas.
So, but again, what has he had at quarterback in Tennessee? He hasn't helped his quarterbacks, but they haven't helped him out either. Evan Neal, I think, is a slam dunk one.
Yeah.
If the transition goes right, he's fine. And Trevor Penning, that's who's just a mess mentally. Right. Hothead, you know, so many stupid penalties. But again, Jay, this is a guy that was picked number 13 overall from the FCS ranks at Northern Iowa. That's to his credit that he got picked that high, but also maybe to his detriment, where he didn't play a lot of high-level college football.
Yeah.
So that adjustment has been a little bit more difficult for him. So I think that's probably where I fall with those guys.
Yeah, I think Penny is the one thing that we talked about, you know, with Derek Queen in the NBA draft and where he's, you know, potentially going to go is that, you know, when you go on that hot streak or you get hot, then people, you know, I call it revisionist history. All they remember is what they saw last versus, you know, some of the things that normally they knock guys down for, competition level. Right. Essentially, all they did was kept talking themselves into drafting him, and then he kind of created this tough guy aura of always pushing guys after the play, going through the echo, the whistle. Mm-hmm. So they're like, okay, this is a guy that's, you know, tough in leadership. Well, then when you get out there and you got to play for real against more natural and real tough guys, and they got to have – and then there's penalties that are called, and there's pressure because you're not at an all-star game playing against college kids. You're in a lot of trouble. You get in a lot of trouble, and then also you get almost to the point that where you get thrown out of town as far as Trevor Penning. So I think he's the one of the guys that probably will be on that list, stay on that list, and won't be able to play himself off it. I also think that when you have, I wouldn't say off the field issues, but when you have confidence issues and he is definitely in his head and you're a first round pick, he actually needs a change of scenery. Mm-hmm. And you could think of Becton that went to Philly.
Right.
Right.
Washed, not good.
You know, injuries, a little bit with Penny. He got into the guard position and got a new offensive line coach. And you know what? To be honest with you, if I'm Philly, that's a guy that I try to get. He'll bring some toughness. He has experience at guard. Mm-hmm. he needs a, you know, new set of eyes on him and a change of scenery. I like him going there, but I think he's a guy that's going to be on the list. But I think you're right. Trevor Lawrence shouldn't be on the list, I think, stat-wise, and then he just needs health-wise to stay healthy. I think
stop fumbling. Like, that's right, a weird one.
And also that goes hand-in-hand with Trevor or Travis Etienne is that the offensive line wasn't an emphasis when you draft them. They went skill position, guys, what they still have.
They went the Bengals route.
They went the Bengals route, and they didn't have the guys that you needed that to really protect him in the short term. And I think he performed well, but I think he took way too many hits. But, you know, the guy that also is Tyree Wilson is on there too, right, in Burks. And this is the perfect example of the draft. You got NBA next week, and then you got it all the time, you know, with the NFL, obviously, next year, is when you start talking yourself into a guy that hasn't been productive from the day he got on campus against good competition, that all of a sudden he's going to go against 10 times better competition at the highest level with 10, maybe 20 times more pressure. Then all of a sudden and then you're a franchise that have no self-awareness, that you don't have anybody else around you besides Matt Crosby, and you can't even keep David or Derek Carr and Adams in there, and you just and then you had Mike Mayock and all them dudes in it, and you think you're going to bring this dude in there? And this is after you drafted Colin Farrell number 4 in Leatherwood in the top 12 as well. So you just messed up all around, and you're going to pick a guy that isn't productive on top of it, Austin, the cherry on top. A long injury history.
Right.
So you got everything. So you went to the combine, flagged him for injuries, flagged him for play, looked like a dude.
But we can fix him.
You can fix him, and he can fix himself under high.
With the Redfin app, you'll know the moment your next place hits the market. Whether you're looking to buy your dream home or rent a sweet apartment, give Redfin your gotta-have-it wish list of property features, and you'll receive real-time notifications tailored just for you. Ready to see it up close and personal? Scheduling a tour is just a tap away. Don't wait to find your perfect match. Download the Redfin app and start searching today.
Pressure. I think it was just never going to work out unless the stars aligned.
Unless everything, right.
You're winning. Your stability at the GM position. Your stability at the head coach. Your stability at defensive coordinator. At the defensive line coach. And you're at the Raiders in Vegas. It hasn't worked out at all. And then I think with Burks.
Before you get to Burks, on Tyree Wilson, it was set up relatively well for him with Max Crosby opposite.
Easier than
simpler.
Any,
right. Yeah. Your job is just to get home.
Right.
That's all. Just take, you know, a split second of attention away from Max Crosby. Don't allow them to always slide two guys. Don't always let them just, you know, chip you with the tight end. Don't just get one-on-one with the right tackle. Do something. For Max Crosby's sake, you know, he's taking guys away from you,
right,
and you still can't capitalize.
But here's also the problem, though, Austin, is that even though that he fits the bill, like, in theory, in your mind, you talked yourself into it, his body type was a man without a position because he's not a true edge,
right,
but he's not a three technique.
Right.
He's kind of the classic tweener with in-between production.
Right.
So you're really, even if that's a simple job, you don't even have the physical traits to do so.
Right.
To be productive against a guy that's Max Crosby, who's 6'4", at that time, 255, 260. You need to be the guy that's kind of like the Jason Taylor, a little bit slimmer, that you are pass rush, where he's a power end, but that's Max Crosby already.
In a speed body,
right.
You got to lean into one at that point. Yeah. If you're a tweener, if you're between positions, right, if you're, you know, maybe you're a big safety or an average size linebacker, right, or you're a linebacker with safety athleticism, that's fine. That's versatility. They can move you around the field. But to your point, along the defensive line there, what, are you going to be, you know, that three? Are you going to be a stand-up outside guy?
Right.
If you're in between that, you got to pick one. You either got to really bulk up, get stronger, put your hand in the dirt more consistently, and then affect the run game, or lean on that speed and work to get yourself to a scheme where you can be that stand-up guy and win that way. But instead, he's just been who he's always been.
Right. And it's hard because with injury history, and you have to add maybe 15 to 20 pounds, and then you got to go inside and play a more technically sound position, meaning that there's a lot more action in there. And I'll say this. When I went from outside linebacker, Will, or like a Sam linebacker, to middle in the NFL, where essentially you got two guys that generally can block you on the outside. tight end, tackle. Fullbacks come in that every position, right?
When you see them.
When you move into the middle, everybody can block you, including the receivers. So the action is faster. You have to be technically sound, and it's a thinking position along with brute force.
Well, that's why your neck hurts. Your head's always on a swivel.
Right, yeah, and I've been taking – I was always thinking I could run through, you know, 330-pound guys. It worked out sometimes, but not enough. And so now where he's at a position, he's asked to prove himself, and and all these guys have the same traits to get on there. And, listen, they're good players to get in here, but when you're drafted so high, the expectations, which is more emotionally attached, which is obviously attached to the financial, you know, investment, is too high for some guys. And you go, we'll go to Burks right there, the receiver. Receiver position. Now, here's how you get on that list of the receiver. Guys around you produce.
Right.
People don't care.
No.
People that they're saying to everybody else, they were like, oh, so-and-so produced. Michael Pittman Jr. Produced. But he actually had a quarterback, or at least a couple guys. Right? He had Phillip Rivers and all those guys.
Matt Ryan.
Right, Matt Ryan. You ain't have nobody to play dead. You had your boy Will Levis, who showed some flashes. Then you drafted
Tannehill.
And then he shut it down, collected a check. And then you had Willis that came in, and they really never gave him a chance, and it was reluctantly. And then you have some injury history. Mm-hmm. And then you have coaches on the way out that are actually coaching to save their jobs or just kind of just throwing up the white flag. So I think, you know, if Callahan down there as a head coach can get something out of him to where he can actually maybe turn into a viable number two, even though he was picked to be a number one and maybe on a mid-level contract, a second extension, I think he could do well. But the only place that I see that he could actually do it, you know who does this all the time? Is your boy Andy Reid.
Sure.
He's done it with Juju Smith-Schuster. He's done it with tried to do it with DeAndre Hopkins towards the end of his career, even though DeAndre Hopkins is a Hall of Famer. He's done it with all different. He's done it with now Hollywood Brown. He's kind of reinvigorated his career where you use these guys and have them do what they do best. But the biggest thing, he's got to be available. He's got to really also find somebody to help him with his route running. And then the technical things will actually accentuate his physical skills because you're thinking about 6'4", 215, straight line speed. The guy that you would like to kind of replicate is in Philly, AJ Brown, and that's where AJ Brown was, where he's actually 6'2", 225. So now you're seeing a guy that's done it, but you got to get the technical stuff down before you try to be explosive player that you hoped you wish were.
Well, and I think the thing for Treylon Burks will be number one, the quarterback, right? We'll see what Cam Ward can do for him and vice versa. But you know, can he be the situational pass catcher? Bigger, boxier guy, like you said, straight line speed, not great out of breaks. Can he be the, okay, we just got a turnover, we got the ball around midfield.
Take the top off. Yep.
Out around the guy. Or can he work on getting more technical where he's a third down receiver, right? Bigger body, thicker frame. Just go box a corner out, you know, on third and medium, right? Yeah. Run 7 yards, turn around, catch the ball. It'll be there. I think he's going to have to find a skill that he's good at because right now you can't point to anything that he does consistently well better than anyone else.
Parties.
On that team, we're in the league.
Well, and also, he's active.
Right? Congratulations. Yeah, Vegas.
I think he got it backwards.
Yeah.
He came in partying, didn't understand you only get to party when you start to become productive. But we'll see what happens. I mean, look, you know, I think sometimes guys get on these lists unfairly, and it's clickbait.
Let me throw another guy out to you because I saw his name come up today. I want to make sure I have my facts straight here. Type in. So, Alec Pierce with the Colts. He's played 3 years. Instead of just 2 years, he's played 16, 17, and 16 games. So he's entering the final, you know, year before they pick it up or not. I saw some people saying that that's a guy who, again, does one thing really well, takes the top off, he'll win jump balls down the field. That's a guy that, you know, has been up and down in Indy, struggled with drops a little bit as a rookie, and then all the Anthony Richardson problems we've talked about. That's a guy that does have that one dynamic element of his game. Where I saw, you know, Nate Tice with, I think, Yahoo or The Athletic, one of the two, throw out there, if you're Kansas City or you're Baltimore,
I was the same.
The Colts, you know, don't bring him back because he hasn't developed into that, you know, well-rounded number two behind Pittman. Or they say, hey, we're going to commit to Josh Downs, who's a little bit younger, and they let Pierce walk. That's a guy that these top teams can say he has a trait. He has something he does definably well. We can go get him and bring him in to play a role where if Treylon Burks – even if that's his role, take the top off. He hasn't shown he can do that consistently.
Yeah, Treylon Burks, you got to think a lot of his highlights were I call jailbreak screens, kind of like punt return type of pass options and plays for him underneath screens and in crossing routes where you're just essentially running away from the leverage of the coverage. And when you think about Pierce, a guy that can take the top off, you allow him to be more efficient, right? You got to think where with Kansas City, you know, what they did with Macklin, you know, getting him from Philly a few years ago, guys that take the top off, which then allows Patrick Mahomes to be that guy. And so it's just one of those things that, you know, guys need to get better, but that's a great, you know, comparison to a guy that actually can do something that you can't replicate. Being able to actually have game speed to be able to get things, you know, taken off the top and do things like that is something that's, you know, people that run fast at the combine but don't run fast in the game, he runs fast in the game, and then obviously he's able to catch it, and he also is able to catch it in traffic. And you think about it, it was actually what Green Bay had envisioned with Watson until he obviously got hurt and actually started to develop that skill once he started getting over the hamstring issues and all that. And so it's one of those things that, you know, you're a young player coming in, you got to make sure you know what you're doing. And, you know, I was saying before, you know, you brought up Pierce, and sometimes guys get on those lists unfairly, right? And what happens is guys just sit around, and the easy thing is, oh, you would pick so-and-so, you don't have any stats, you're on there. Yeah. And it, like for instance, real quick before we go to break, right, it's like Bryce Young. Like, he got picked number one. The coach and the quarterback coach and offensive coordinator didn't want him, but the owner and the owner's wife wanted him, right? Yeah. So now you're going into a no-win situation. Well, then they fire the coach like 4 or 5 games into it.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. The new coach didn't want to play him.
Andy bleeping Dalton.
Yeah, and was like, we got our guy. Andy Dalton started to do Andy Dalton things.
Well, got in the car accident.
Car accident. Mm-hmm. But then he played one good game.
Yeah.
And then that was the problem was solved. But then his play started to decline. Well, then now we got to go back to the guy.
We saw that same thing in Indy.
Right.
Richardson to Flacco, back to Richardson.
Right, but then you're like, okay, this guy actually is good. Mm-hmm. They were talking about cutting him last year. And so I think it's one of those, but now he's on the list just because he went number one. Nobody's taking in the discombobulation ownership-wise, right? Mm-hmm. And there's nothing wrong with the family being in it, but it seems like the owner's wife is kind of making some football decisions more than the owner, and the owner really shouldn't. You got a GM. Now, Dan Morgan, I think, is going to bring more of a football edge to it, which is great, but he's just getting there.
Right.
He's cleaning up a lot of mess over stuff that was there and set in path by the owner, which people think, oh, well, the owner was going to build a big montage facility in South Carolina, but left them, you know, with the holding the back. And then you hire coach and fireman Frank Wright, who's respected throughout the league, and you don't think it trickles down to the locker room? It does. And so now you got Bryce Young on that list, and this guy that wrote the list probably didn't even think, okay, well, let's just pause on that, because actually the last 4 or 5 games he played, he actually looked like the Bryce Young with Nick Saban in the leadership that everybody, you know, allotted for him to be number one. And so, you know, the list is the list. It's good talking points. But we're going to take a quick break, come back, another short segment. Jay Foreman, Austin Orman, old school, the new school way. We'll be right back.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. TNCs apply. Available in app only.